We're starting on the fifth verse of Rupa Darshanamrita. You can say it together. Krishneti asya kiritvam badatana sadriheta dikshastri chit pranati vishavajandamishan shushu shayabhajana vigyamananyamanya nindari shunya vidanipsita sandhagya. One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone diksha and is engaged in worshipping the deity. One should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and his heart is completely devoid of propensity to criticize others. So, this fifth verse of Upadeshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a summary. He says, Madhyama Bhaktir Trivida Vaishnava Sevana Ki. How should a Madhyama Bhakta serve the three different types of Vaishnavas? This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's summary description of this verse. How should a Madhyama Bhakta serve the three different kinds of Vaishnavas? Srila Prabhupada, on page 48 of his introduction, purport to this verse, he describes, in order to intelligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. We spoke a little bit about that at the end of our talk. It's not just that we blindly have these exchanges with anyone, and there's different degrees that we have them with. So how do we understand who to have those exchanges with, to what depth? This particular verse, text 5, is describing that. Prabhupada writes, Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way according to their particular status. In this verse, he tells us how to deal with three types of devotees, the Kanishtha Adhikari, the Madhyama Adhikari, and the Uttama Adhikari. So then he describes each one of these. The Kanishtha Adhikari, he says, is a neophyte who's received Harinam initiation from the Guru and is trying to chant the holy name of Krishna. That's a Kanishtha. Someone who's gotten Harinam and is trying to chant the name of Krishna. Prabhupada says, one should respect such a person within his mind as a Kanishtha Vaishnava. We're going to raise some questions about this, because there's some things that we think about this purport, there's some things which externally don't seem to make sense. We'll see if anybody catches it. A Madhyama Adhikari has received spiritual initiation from the Guru and has been fully engaged by him in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Madhyama Adhikari should be considered to be situated midway in devotional service. The Uttama Adhikari, or highest devotee, is one who is very advanced in devotional service. An Uttama Adhikari is not interested in blaspheming others. His heart is completely clean, and he has attained the realized state of unalloyed Krishna consciousness. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, the association and service of such a Mahabhagavat, or perfect Vaishnava, are most desirable. Prabhupada spoke about this on a few occasions, that we should desire to have the association of the Uttama Adhikari. We should desire that thing, and we shouldn't be so foolish as to think, oh, there is no such person. As we said the other day, Krishna's broke now. You're out of money. For those of us who didn't meet Srila Prabhupada, we're just out of luck. It's just too bad. Prabhupada was the last one. This, as we describe, is a kind of atheism. It's a philosophy of Hiranyakashipu, who doesn't believe that Krishna's everywhere. He didn't believe that Krishna was in the pillar. Krishna's everywhere. And Krishna's everywhere means his devotees are also with him. And Krishna can send his devotee any time, according to our desire. So, this evening, we'd like to speak something about these three different devotees, their qualifications, the differences between them, and how we should associate with them, And how we find that most advanced association, which is what Prabhupada ends with in the final paragraph of this purport, speaking about. Now, there's an interesting thing Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport. It's very brilliant. But it raises some question. Prabhupada describes the Kanishtha Adhikari as a neophyte who's received Harinam initiation. And he says the Madhyam is a middle class devotee, and his symptom, he says, is that he's received Diksha. So, does that really make sense? That just because someone only has first initiation, they're automatically Kanishtha? And someone who has second is automatically a more advanced devotee? Ramachandra Puri, he had second initiation, but we've never read anything about Rupa and Sanatan having second initiation, nor have we certainly read anything about Haridas Thakur having second initiation. They're certainly very advanced Vaishnavas. Certainly we would consider them more advanced than Ramachandra Puri. So then why does Srila Prabhupada say this? Moreover, if we look deeper in the verse, why does Rupa Goswami define Vaishnavas in this way? It's very important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Madhyama Bhakti Trivida Vaishnava Selanki. How can a Madhyamadikari serve these three different kinds of Vaishnavas? He says, this is the subject matter of this verse. We want to know who's a Kanishtha, who's a Madhyam, who's an Uttam, and how can we serve them? There's different qualifications of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada describes here in the purport, one should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari, one who is situated in the lowest platform of devotional service and is interested only in worshipping the deity in the temple. Such a devotee is described in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Acharajam eva haraye pujam ya shariyayate natad bhakti shuchanyeshu sa bhakta prakrita smitaha. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not know how to behave toward devotees or people in general is called a Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishtha Adhikari. And Prabhupada defines a Madhyam Adhikari from 11th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 46. Ishvare taradineshu valiseshu disatsucha prema maitrika peksha yakuritam sa Madhyamam. A Madhyam Adhikari is a devotee who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the highest object of love, makes friends with the Lord's devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids those who are envious by nature. So these are definitions of the Kanishtha and of the Madhyam. Similarly, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, some description given is given of the Uttamadhikari, the same section. Sarva bhuteshu ya pasyet bhagavad bhavam atmanaha bhutani bhagavatyatmani esha bhagavatottama. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. So, these descriptions that Rupa Goswami is giving of the Kanishtha, the Madhyam, and the Uttam, does it really enable us to understand how advanced they are? Let's think about it. He says, Krishnaiti yashagiri tvam manasadriyeta. Anyone who chants Krishna now, we should offer respect in our mind to that person. I've seen people on Harinam in the West chanting Krishna Nam as they're throwing bricks or sometimes rocks at the devotees or eggs sometimes. So, does that mean that person's an advanced person because they're chanting Krishna Nam? So someone's throwing stones at the devotees, saying, you nasty Hare Krishnas, so you're going to give him respect? Will you? He's throwing rocks at the devotees. But he's saying Krishna Nam. He's chanting Krishna Nam. So we don't appreciate when someone attacks the devotees. We become very angry with that. But at the same time, Anyone who chants Krishna Nam, we should respect that person. Because we see Krishna and Krishna's name as being non-different. Abhinatva Nama Namayam. So, it doesn't really tell us very much, though, about that person's status, how elevated they are, just because they chant Krishna Nam. We've been discussing something about false devotees. Bhaktivedanta Thakur speaks about the Kali Chelas and Dharmadvajis, and false pretentious devotees. So many of them, they chant Krishna Nam. And as far as Diksha, we see so many persons also. Bhaktivedanta Rupa Goswami says, Dikshashti Chet Pranati Bish Cha Bhajantamisham. That anyone who has Diksha and is engaged in worshipping the Lord. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, reading last night in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he says there's a type of person he calls Vaishnava Praya. There's a false devotee who comes in a family of Vaishnavas and may be worshipping a deity. He has initiation. He says, Shushushraya Bhajana Vigyamana Mananya Nindari Shunya Hidimitsita Sangalabhya. That we should offer respect to someone who is very expert engaging in bhajan. So these things are all external symbols. There's a clue here. There's some instruction. A very, very important point. The point is that we're not the seers. There's two things, drashta and drishti. The seer and the seen. So we're not the seer. Rather, we should act in such a way that we can be seen. But we have to offer respect. So Rupa Goswami, he's saying that anybody you see who chants Krishna Nam, offer respect within your mind. You don't know, maybe they're a demon, maybe they're trying to pretend. All you can see is they're chanting Krishna Nam. So you should respect that. Anyone who has Diksha, you should offer more respect to that person. He's worshipping the Lord, but you don't know what kind of personality he may be. Ravan was Diksha. He had second initiation. And sometimes he was chanting mantras so expertly, the devatas sometimes are asking him to come and do yajna for him before he started all of his troubles and things anyway. And just because someone is expert in devotional service, we've seen people who are very expert in kirtan, or expert in puja, expert in cooking, expert in management, expert in giving class, and quoting verses and telling stories, but who had doing very terrible things. So Rupa Goswami is telling us that you don't know who's who and what's what. So you should respect these things, even though you can't see them. And therefore Srila Prabhupada, he's describing the same thing in the purport. But we should consider that anyone who's initiated in the Harinam, they're at least a Kanishta. And a Madhyam is someone who's received Diksha. But it's interesting in this song that we just went over, by Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he sings to Lord Hari, Hari Hey, Sangha Dosha Shunya. He says, if I see anyone who, first of all, they're free from bad association, they may be Dikshit or Adikshita. They may be initiated or not initiated. I don't care. I'm going to offer respect to them. But that's a little different than what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Why is that? We shouldn't be shy to ask questions like that. There's different definitions that we can give. There's also a social kind of respect within the society. That someone only has Harinam initiation, and within the society, social kind of respect, that person's a Kanishta. He's on the bottom rung. And someone who has Diksha, we consider that person to be higher. We mentioned previously that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes 8 different rungs or levels, like a ladder of etiquette in terms of respect that we offer to different persons. He begins with Naramatra Maryada. We offer respect to anyone as a human. But more respect we offer to Sabhyatara Maryada, anyone who's a civilized human being, a headhunter, a cannibal in the jungle. We can respect him, he's a human being. When Srila Prabhupada was in Bhubaneswar, he went to visit Nandan Kanan Zoo with some of the disciples, some of the devotees from morning walk. And as they were going through the zoo, Prabhupada saw one of his disciples poking a stick at the lion, agitating him. And Prabhupada stopped and turned and said, "Stop that." He said, "You should give him respect. After all, he's a lion." So if we can respect even a lion, then what to speak of a human being? They may be a cannibal or a headhunter, but they're a human being. That's a very, very rare and very exalted birth. But more respect we give to someone who's vegetarian, subjetarian more either. And more respect than that, we give to Vidyamarita, someone who's knowledgeable. They're also a gentleman, but they have some knowledge. I mean, it includes professors and others. But more respect than that, we give to Sadgunamarita, who has really good qualities. They're not drinking, they're not smoking, they're not doing bad things like that. Sadgunamarita. And more than that, we offer to Varnamarita. We offer especially to the Brahmins, those persons who are qualified Brahmins. This is a kind of social respect. And more respect than that, to the Varnamarita, we offer to Ashramarita, especially the sannyasis. And the most respect we give, I didn't mention Rajamarita, that was the third type. I mean, someone who's a king or a leader. The most respect we offer to is Bhakti Marita, someone who has devotion. That's the real standard for understanding who a position, who a person is. There was a story given in the Hari Bhakti Sura Dvaya about Markandeya Rishi. Markandeya Rishi, he was 7 kulpas old. And once he was sitting in an assembly of sages, and suddenly, the father of Vyasadeva, his name is slipping my mind, Parashara Muni. Parashara Muni came to that assembly. Parashara wasn't the Muni at that time, he was a little boy. He was 7 years old. So when he entered into that assembly, he offered obeisances to Markandeya Rishi. And then it's described that Markandeya Rishi immediately turned around and offered obeisances back to him. And there were so many sages and rishis there, and that little boy, Parashara, he became frightened. "Why? You're 7 kulpas old. You're the senior personality here. What are you offering respects to me for?" And then Parashara Muni, it wasn't a small thing. It'd be one thing if he did something like that in a private place. But he didn't do it in a private place. He did it in a very, very public place. So it's described there, Markandeyo Tavihasan Praha Madhya Tapasvinam Ayuso Gananam Naivam Vakshyam Stavvichchum Tatvataha Yavanto Hikshana Jata Hari Smityaiva Dehinam Akrityaiva Teneva Ganam Karyayamayasa. Markandeya Rishi smiled and told the Rishis, because we should understand that is not just a statement to Parashara, but it's a statement to all the other Rishis. I'm offering obeisances more to this little boy than I am to all of you. Which is what he did. It's not just, he's not just asserting himself against Parashara, but he's asserting himself against all those Rishis. So then he asked all those Rishis, he said, "You please tell me, how should age be calculated? Which is senior? A redwood tree in Northern California, which is 1,000 years old. Or a tulsi plant, which is 3 weeks old." He says, "All the jivas are born with physical bodies, but the time that one spends remembering Lord Hari is calculated as the actual span of one's life." He said, although this Parashara, he's only 7 years old, he's much younger than all of us, still in those few 7 years, he spent more time thinking about Krishna than all of us put together. So he's the most senior. But we can't do like that. We don't know who Parashara is. We don't know who's who and what's what. So we have a kind of external respect that we give. But there's also an internal respect. That internal vision is given by Krishna. and the devotee. Because we can't see those devotees, but they may reveal themselves to us. Markandeya Rishi, we don't know, it doesn't say whether he, because of his realization, and he was a very elevated person, living for seven kalpas, and he'd seen Krishna, whether it was because of that that he could understand Parashara, or whether it was because of Parashara's mercy. But Markandeya Rishi is in another category beyond ourselves, beyond us. Mm-hmm. So we don't know who's who. So we offer this respect to anyone who chants Krishna's name. Anyone who has second initiation, we offer more respect. Why do we offer more respect to someone who has second initiation than to someone who has first initiation? Ultimately, we offer the most respect to someone who has bhakti. But bhakti is not something that we can see. So this is a kind of social respect. But we're offering it because we see that that person is rendering service to the Lord. When we go to Jagannath Puri and we see the pandas there, don't criticize them. If you see them in some restaurant eating fish, they do that sometimes. Some of them have bad habits. Srila Prabhupada writes in one letter, we should know that even if the pandas eat fish, still Lord Jagannath is so kind that he accepts their service. We offer them respect not because of their fish eating behavior. We offer them respect because we see them as associates of the Lord. They're directly serving Lord Jagannath. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we want to go and ask spiritual advice from them. There's a difference. But this kind of respect must be given there. Dikshesti chet pranati bishchava jantamisham. Anyone who has second initiation is engaged in worshiping the deity, should offer obeisances with our body. What are we really doing? Krishneti yashagiri tvam manasadhyayta. We're offering respect to anyone who chants Krishna nam. Is it because of the person or is it because of their behavior? It's because of their behavior. Because they're chanting Krishna nam. Really, we're offering respect to Krishna nam. Because we see that Krishna is manifested on their tongue. And dikshesti chet pranati bishchava jantamisham. We offer respect to anyone who has second initiation for several reasons. One of which is because we see that bhajantanisham, if they're engaged in the service of the Lord, that's a very, very exalted thing. They're an associate of the Lord. So we should offer respect to that. Another reason, we can go on. Prabhupada, he says about the first devotee, Krishneti yashigini tvam manasadhyayta. When Srila Kaviraj Satyaraj Khan, a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, asked the Lord how a Vaishnava could be recognized, the Lord replied, Prabhu kahe yanya mukhe sunika baraha Krishna nama se puja shrestha sabakara. If one hears a person say even once the word Krishna, that person should be accepted as the best man out of the common group. Ataiva yandra mukhe eka Krishna nama seita vaishnava koriha tanhara samana. One who is interested in chanting the holy name of Krishna, or who by practice likes to chant Krishna's names, should be accepted as a Vaishnava and offered respects as such, at least within one's mind. Probably gives a different translation for these in Chaitanya Charitamrita. For the previous verse, Prabhu Kahe, Prabhupada translates it, Mahaprabhu replied, whoever, because Satyaraj Khan, Mahaprabhu told Satyaraj Khan, Prabhu Kohen, Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Sevana, Nirantara Koro Krishna Nama Sankirtana, that without cessation you should chant the name of Krishna, and whenever possible you should serve Krishna and serve his devotees, the Vaishnavas. So, Satyaraja Bole, Vaishnava Chini Bhakimon, Ki Vaishnava Kahatana Samanya Lakshana. Satyaraj Khan then asked a very intelligent question. How can I recognize a Vaishnava? Please let me know what a Vaishnava is. What are his common symptoms? Then Mahaprabhu replied, Prabhu Kohe, Yanu Mukhi Suni Eka Bhar, Krishna Nama Se Puja Shrestha Sabakar. Mahaprabhu said, whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. Shrestha Sabakar. Anyone who chants Krishna Nama even one time. There's one devotee associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu whose name was Gadadhar Das. Not Gadadhar Pandit, but Gadadhar Das. And this Gadadhar Das was very merciful. On one occasion, he went to the local Muslim Nawab and he went before him and he said, my dear sir, you should please just chant Krishna Nam just one time. And that Muslim became annoyed with him. But he saw, when he saw his demeanor, then that Muslim, his heart softened a little, so he decided not to cut his head off. So he told them, he said, why will I chant Krishna Nam now? Anyway, you're being nice, maybe I'll chant Krishna Nam tomorrow. So when Gadadhar Das heard this, he became ecstatic. And he started dancing, Hariyo, Hariyo, Hariyo. He said, why wait until tomorrow? Already you chanted Krishna Nam twice today? So we should see like that. We should be very, very serious. This process is such a process that anyone who chants Krishna Nam, we should respect that person in our mind. It's not a common thing. I heard about one Mataji who joined the Gaudiya Mutt in the Purushottam Mutt in Jagannath Puri shortly after the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. She didn't join. At that time, ladies weren't living in the temple, but she was coming to the temple. And they told her to chant Krishna Nam. And she was trying, but she couldn't chant. She couldn't chant the holy name. And they kept telling her, you try to chant, but she couldn't do it. Finally, they started giving her prasadam and told her, you just come and hear the kirtan. And she was doing it. And after some time, suddenly she was able to chant. Similar stories there in Ramayana, of Valmiki Muni. He was going around and killing so many people and taking their money. And one day, by his good fortune, he tried to rob Narad Muni. And Narad Muni told him, hey, what are you doing? I'm a sadhu, I'm a baba, I don't have any money or anything. Nothing you can get from me. What are you doing these terrible things for? You know you're going to get a very bad reaction. Then Valmiki Muni told him, he said, what can I do? I'm a grihastha. I have to take care of my family somehow. This is my retirement pension that I'm trying to collect right now. I'm doing it for behalf of my wife and my children. So Narad Muni told him, and he said, well, you're doing this for your wife and children, but you know, you're going to get some very, very bad reaction for this, killing people and taking their money. Are they going to share the reaction? He said, yes, definitely. They'll share it. I've been taking care of them. Narad Muni said, anyway, look, I'll wait here for you. Don't worry. I'm a sadhu. I won't lie. I'll stay here and wait. Go back to your house and you ask them. Yes, okay. So he went back to his house and he went to his wife. My dear wife, you remember I took you from your father's home and I gave you a place to stay and I've worked so hard. I've done very many bad things for you. And now I met this sadhu and he says I'm going to have some bad karma. But I told him I'm doing it for you and for the children. And I said that you would accept some of the karma. So he told me to come and make sure that you agreed with that. So what is your comment? And he said, get lost. I'm not going to take your karma. I didn't ask you. I could have married this other fellow in my village who was a banker, you know. I didn't tell you to get a job like this. So he was very shocked. And he went and asked the children. And the children also told him, Father, we're not going to take your karma. Forget it. So he was very shocked. So he became renounced there on the spot. And he went back to Narad Muni. And he said, okay, I understand something now. He said, so what should I do to start my spiritual life? So he told him, you should chant the name of Lord Ram. And he tried, he couldn't chant. He was so sinful. So Narad Muni saw him, he thought, but this guy's really the case. So he said, anyway, then you do something else. You chant the name of death. Mara, Mara, Mara. Mara is Rama, backwards. So he sat there, and he started chanting Mara, 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 Rama, Rama, and it became Ram after some time. And he chanted for so long that an anthill, in Sanskrit the word Valmiki means anthill, someone who's born from an anthill built up around his body. We haven't seen these kind of anthills here in Vrindavan, but if you go to Orissa, sometimes you see these anthills, which are huge, very, very big anthills. So some anthill like that built up around his body. And he became Siddha by beginning to chant this Mara Mara. So the holy name of Krishna is such a special thing. It's not an ordinary thing for someone to be able to chant Krishna Nam. And we should respect that. To anyone that we see who's chanting Krishna Nam, it's a very, very special thing. And Rupa Goswami, he describes Dikshesti Chepanati Bishchabhajantanisha, that we should offer more respect to someone who has Diksha, who's taken second initiation. And Prabhupada in his purport in page 51, he quotes a very interesting verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Diksha Kale Bhakta Kore Atma Samarpana Sehi Kale Krishna Tare Kore Atma Sama. The time of initiation, when a devotee fully surrenders to the service of the Lord, Krishna accepts him to be as good as he himself. This verse comes in Antilila chapter 4 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. The next verse describes Sehi Deha Kore Tara Chidananda Maya Aprakrita Dehitandra Charana Bhajaya. When the devotee's body is thus transformed into spiritual existence, the devotee in an aprakrit, a transcendental body, renders service to the lotus feet of the Lord. We were writing an article about this subject a few years ago, and we took some time, we translated Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's purport on these two verses. It's a very interesting thing. He says that at the time, he describes what happens when someone takes initiation. At the time of initiation, a devotee gives up prakritanubhuti, the materialistic concept of life. He becomes distinguished by apakrita sambandha gyan, the transcendental knowledge. He gives up his prakrita anubhuti, materialistic conception. He becomes distinguished by apakrit sambandha gyan, or knowledge of his connection, his sambandha with Krishna. Attaining apakrit divya gyan, divine knowledge, he is awarded the qualification to serve Krishna in an apakrit swarup. Because his body becomes apakrit. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, we purposely left these words in the purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta uses this word again and again, that when he gives up prakritanubhuti, his materialistic conception of life, because the verse describes diksha kala bhakta kore atma samarpan, that when the devotee becomes fully surrendered to Krishna, atma samarpan, se kale, at that time, Krishna tari kore atma sam, Krishna says, atma sam, he's just as good as me. It's not just that you sit in an initiation ceremony and that now all of a sudden you're as good as Krishna is. No. It means when someone fully surrenders. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that when he attains that aprakrit divya gyan, divine knowledge, he's awarded the qualification to serve Krishna in an aprakrit sarup, spiritual body. When he gives up the shelter of Krishna's illusory energy, Krishna makes that surrendered devotee, Atma Sam, as good as himself. His self-conception of being the enjoyer of material nature goes away. He becomes situated in the self and the realization of himself as the eternal servant of Krishna awakens. The devotee realizes his own eternal transcendental blissful form and achieves eligibility to serve Krishna in that form. This is why it is Krishna saying, Diksha Kali, Atma Kori, Sei Kali Krishna Tari Kori Atma San, that I accept him as being as good as myself. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes on in this purport. When this happens, the Karmi Gana, materialistic persons, criticize that devotee who's situated in his upper-crit body and upper-crit mode of service. They consider that, like themselves, the devotee is also performing mundane material activities. By that offense, they are cheated out of getting the mercy of upper-crit guru. They don't find that thing, they don't meet that guru, because they think that devotee is like himself. So we should consider that anyone who's completely surrendered, but we can't see that surrender. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur, another place, he says that the Sarup Lakshana, the primary quality of a devotee, speaking about the qualifications of a devotee, the primary quality, he says, is that he's Saranagat, and he's surrendered. But can anyone say how you can judge someone's surrender? We can judge how many books someone distributes, or how much money they get. But maybe you went out and you found somebody who wanted to buy 100 books from you that day. One person. So you sold so many books. So does that mean that you're better than the other devotees because you sold 100 books and someone else only sold 5 books or 10 books? You don't know. So that surrender is not something that we can see. But we offer respect. This respect should be given. That anyone who has second initiation, anyone who is dvija, dvijanma, who has diksha, they should be considered to be as good as the Lord. And we worship them in that way. But what kind of respect is this? Is this a social respect? Or is this a devotional respect? This respect is given. It's mentioned in the Agama Shastras. Srila Sanatana Goswami quotes in Hari Bhakti Vilas 2, 3 through 4. Dvi janam anupetanam swakas madhyayana disu yatadikaro nastika shachchopanayad anu tatta tatra didikshanam tu mantra deva chanadishu nadikaro shtatakurya atmanam shiva samstutam. Even though someone's born in a Brahmin family, if he's not been initiated in the sacred thread, he's unable to engage in Vedic rituals or study of Vedic literature. In the same way, one who has not received Vaishnava initiation is not eligible to worship the deity or chant mantras. Therefore, one should take initiation by which he'll become praiseworthy for even Lord Shiva. Someone who has second initiation, even Lord Shiva praises that person. Sanatana Goswami has written his commentary. It says that Shiva Samstutam refers to initiation, indicating that anyone who takes initiation becomes a Vaishnava and an object of praise to the best of all Vaishnavas, Shiva himself. This is a result of the supremacy of the worship of Vishnu over that of Shiva. So we offer respect like that to anyone who has second initiation. But this kind of respect, if we contemplate on it, it's actually a social kind of respect. We're offering respect to the Brahmins because they're doing some worship of the Lord. And if we don't offer respect to the Brahmins, then how will society go on? And we can't see who's a Vaishnava, who's not a Vaishnava. But we should give more respect to the Vaishnavas than we do to the Brahmins. Although the Brahmins are very, very much worshipable. But if a society doesn't offer more respect to the Vaishnavas, then how will things go on properly? It's described that in the Bhag Bazar temple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once arrived at the temple at the time of prasadam. And he arrived and walked into the prasadam hall and he saw that the temple commander, he had the devotees sit down in different lines to take prasadam according to who had second initiation, who had first initiation. And all the devotees who were dikshit, who had second initiation, they were in the front part of the line. They were given prasadam first. And all the devotees who only had Harinam, they were down further. So when he saw that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said some very instructive words. He said, this is bogus. He said, actually it should be the other way around. The devotees have only had Harinam, they should be given more respect because they have more faith in the holy name. They're Harinam Ashraya. These other people have Dikshit, they're just trying to make some show. He said like that. He said, actually, we don't consider whether someone has Diksha or not Diksha as being a sign of advancement. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's described, he quoted Mahaprabhu from Madhyalila chapter 15, text 108. Diksha purashcharja bidhi apeksha na korehe jiva sparse achandala sabare udare. One doesn't have to receive formal initiation, diksha, nor undergo the various purificatory activities required before initiation, known as purushcharja bidhi. One simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest caste, a chandala, can be delivered. It's not necessary to chant the holy, to have diksha. But what is diksha required for? Diksha is required for someone who wants to do deity worship. Or strictly speaking, it's required for someone who wants to teach the Vedas. That person must have diksha. Or someone who wants to perform samskars, some pujas, like it wants to do brahminical activities. But if we think that doing those activities is because someone has second initiation, they're higher than someone who has first initiation, then in effect what we're saying is that a Brahmin is higher than a Vaishnava. And it's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is that a Vaishnava is always higher than a Brahmin. But there may be Vaishnava Brahmins, and the Vaishnavas offer respect to the Brahmins. And we have some social etiquette also, even within our own society that Prabhupada's talking about, that we may offer more respect to someone who has second initiation. But don't think it means that person is more of a devotee just because they have that thing. Second initiation is required to study the Vedas. That's described in a number of places. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we were citing this morning or yesterday, he was telling Prakashananda Saraswati, Murkatumi Tomar Vedanta Nahika Adhikar. My Guru Maharaj told me, you're not qualified as a Brahman. You're not qualified. You're a Murka. You have no qualification to study Veda Vedanta. The only thing you need to do, Krishna Mantra Japa Sada, A Mantra Sar. This is the essence of all mantras. If you chant this mantra, if you chant Krishna Nam, then you're getting a result of chanting all mantras. So then what is the necessity of having second initiation? Because it's required. If someone's going to do deity worship, if someone's going to perform samskaras or some puja, that's a required thing. But it's not required for bhakti or for devotion. But at the same time, it's bhakti anukul. It's a favorable thing. And Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that there's some benefit also. Someone chanting Gayatri Mantra may also help them to chant Krishna Nam. Because chanting Krishna Nam is the essence of everything. Why do we do deity worship if Nam is the Yuga Dharma for this age? Jiva Goswami describes in Bhakti Sundarbha, he calls all these different Navavidhi Bhakti. He says that they're all, what's the phrase that he uses? He says that they're all dependent upon Nam. That in Kali Yuga, all these things have some strength only because of the holy name. And in Kali Yuga, Gayatri Mantra, whoever there may be, you can pronounce it properly, Gayatri Mantra has potency because of the holy name. It's Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Eva Kevalam, not Gayatri Mantra, Gayatri Mantra, Gayatri Mantra Eva Kevalam. And even the Gayatri Mantra that we chant is not necessarily the same as other Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We do that because that thing is required if you're going to do deity worship. And we need deity worship. to go on with our society for preaching. But why do we do deity worship if the holy name is the only thing required? We do deity worship to help us to chant the holy name. Because if we worship the deity, it will help us sometimes, in some cases, to chant the holy name. We do fire yajnas, which are not the process for this age, because it may help us in our chanting of the holy name. We may perform other activities because of kirtanakya bhakti. This is a phrase Jiva Goswami uses. A kirtanakya bhakti. Because they have some connection with kirtan. Kirtan gives them strength, and we do them in connection with kirtan. We worship the deity because we're praying, you please give me further more taste for the holy name. And when we're worshiping the deity, what strength do we have to worship the deity? It's the holy name that's giving us strength, not Gayatri Mantra. That's not our philosophy. It's the holy name that's giving us strength for that thing. So, we can stop there. We'll come back in 5 minutes or something, take a little break, and continue.